The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 12, verses from 13 to 21. Allow me to read the words of today. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus gain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it'll be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." Amen. There's a book titled A Stroll Through the Woods of Literature, written by Chang Young-hee, an English literature professor at Seogang University who passed away in 2009. The book is a compilation of her essays in which she introduced works of English literature in words of daily lives under the title of The Woods of Literature, The Sea of Classic for 3 years in a daily newspaper. I didn't miss a column whenever it was published. The book begins as follows. One of the most popular TV shows, called Oprah Winfrey Show, once introduced a book called What's Wrong with Timmy, written by Maria Shriver, a writer of juvenile stories. The story begins with a question, "Mom, what's wrong with him?" when a girl named Kate saw a boy who just moved in her neighborhood and played ball lawn. Timmy suffered Down syndrome, and it was different from other kids for him to play ball or speak slowly with incorrect pronunciation. Mom took Kate and introduced her to Timmy, telling her her own experience in her childhood that she had felt strange when seeing a friend's sister on a wheelchair, and said Timmy was not at all different than Kate. She said, "Just as you have trouble in doing math tests, Timmy needs a little longer time to learn something." Kate understood what her mom said to say hello to him, suggest him to play basketball together, and other friends also naturally hang out all together. The writer intended to teach children how to think right. People who have handicap are the same as they are. They are not subject to fear, teasing, or sympathy. Winfrey quoted an interview with a blind businessman named Tom Sullivan. He said three words changed his life in which he felt despair and sense of shame. In his childhood, a boy in his neighborhood asked, "Want to play?" those three words recognized him as the same human being like others and encouraged him to live on according to him. Professor Zhang wrote, regardless of time and space, a theme of a great literature would probably be when a play. Living in a world with billions of all different people interacting and competing with each other, teaching how to understand others, and in the end, how to live harmoniously together based on human universality is truly a mission given to literature. In a way, the Bible can also be summarized as when a play. Man by nature have always had fellowship with God. But sins estranged man from God. Man should have become closer to God, but they had no idea how to reach God because they were way too far away from God. God wanted to play with us again and sent his son, had him suffer in pain and persecuted, thereby allowing us play with him through receiving his son as our Lord. God also tells us, like I played with you by even sending my son to you, you should play with your family, neighbors, and other people you have relationship with. And that'll testify that we are get along well with God. Today's scripture introduces a man who didn't know that he should play with God. More precisely, a man who thought playing alone was everything. In verse 13, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus had a long argument with Pharisees and the experts in the law. Jesus made his point regarding their superficial faith, and they couldn't rebut at all. Tens of thousands of people came to see that. One man approached Jesus because he had a conflict with his brothers over property sharing. According to Deuteronomy, elder brothers have 2/3, while younger brother has 1/3. Although it's not clear if this man wanted to have more than 1/3 or his older brother hoped to have more than his 2/3, he came before Jesus thinking it was unfair anyway. He saw how Jesus sat to the Pharisees and the lawyers and thought Jesus would be able to solve his problem. But Jesus answered to him in an unexpected way. In verse 14, Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Jesus called him man, which has the same connotation as in Korean, being used to blame others. It also is used in appearance compared to one's inside. This shows that the man who came to Jesus also was a man full of material desires. Jesus went on to say as follows in verse 15, "Then he said to them, 'Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions.'" Jesus said not only to the man who visited Jesus, but also to them, because not only the man who came to Jesus, but others also had the same thoughts. Not only the man who wanted Jesus to figure out the property problem, but all others, including his brother, who listened to the words of Jesus, had greed. The word greed originates from a man who wanted to have more. Thinking to have more than one's siblings or relatives comes from unhealthy selfishness. The thought, all you need is money. Money helps you better than your siblings or relatives, comes from deep inside the heart. That's what God tells greed is idolatry in the Colossians 3:5. It's choosing materials to worship over God. There are quite many families that have an ugly fight over inheritance. Whether much or less, selfishness arose. Although they did nothing to help their parents to gain such assets, they fight with each other anyway to have more. Jesus saw such greed, and we are no different. There's a funny story that shows how selfish and self-centered men we are. One day, Mr. Kim told his boss, "I worked on Saturday and feel so tired. I want to have a day off tomorrow." Then his boss said, "Mr. Kim, there are 365 days in a year. A day has 24 hours and you work 8 hours a day. Then you work one third of a day, which makes you working days are only 122 days in a year. 52 days are Sundays. And even if suppose you have worked every alternate Saturday, there are 26 days remaining and it makes only 44 days to work. Even during the time, you need to deduct 3 hours a day for eating, going restroom, having coffee and smoking. Excluding all those hours, you work only 27 days. And you still have summer vacation for 10 days. Then you have 17 days. And you've got 16 days of public and special holidays such as New Year's, Chuseok, Independence Day, Boat Day, and Labor Day. After all, it is just one day a year you actually work. And still, you want to have a day off? Then do you want to just rest? Tell me something about it. Feeling unfair, Mr. Kim said, "Boss, I'm so tired, and I'll tell you why. Out of 50 million Korean population, 30 million are retirees who are in their 50s or older, housewives, unemployed, and the likes. Combining children and young students would make 16 million. Then there are only 4 million left. 1 million out of them are doing their military service, while 1 million of them are public servants. Now there are 2 millions left. 1.8 million out of them are public officers from local governments or politicians. Then we still got 200,000. Excluding 150,000 lives 50,000. 49,998 are serving their term in jail. Then there are only 2 working. And it's you and me. But all you do is just approve or deny my reports. Then I am the only person who actually work in Korea. Now, can you understand how tired I am? When outside God's grace, people are all self-centered and selfish. So they sing, "It's my life to live." But no matter how frequently you sing that song, that doesn't make it true. We can't stop hair loss, just as we can't stop getting gray hair. We cannot get our body back to be young and healthy again. Little can be done as we wish in our life. That is because our life is not ours. Our life, in fact, is given by God for a certain period of time. Jesus explained how foolish we are to think about our life and who takes care of our life by using a parable. In verses 16 and 17, "And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' A rich man harvested a lot. The amount was too huge to store even after putting them from deep at the bottom up to the ceiling. So he decided to, as testified in verse 18. Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain.' This rich man planned to build a much bigger barn compared to the previous one to store all the grain. And the barn was not just for the grain. There were products as well, or goods, to put in the barn. He might not be able to eat the grain up all alone. He would have extremely some of them, and rest of them will be sold or borrowed by poor people to be paid back in money, land, or labor. So the grain can also become goods." He went to speak to himself in verse 19, "And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" He talked to his spirit, "You have plenty of grain laid up for many years." The English word goods is a plural form of good, so is in Greek. This rich man had a great deal of harvest. That was grain in the beginning, but it changed into goods when it had to be stored. grain as goods became property to the rich man, and it turned something good to him. He believed such good things would make him happy for sure. He never doubted that it'll guarantee his future too. So he said to himself, "Take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry." And then this rich man thought these products or goods will guarantee many years for him. Many years here does not just mean 3 to 4 years or 7 to 8 years. It is said, "You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry." The word plenty and many means the same. And it would not just mean several years, but it means longer than that, at least tens of years. So if this man is in his 40s or 50s, then he would live 40 or 50 more years without any concern. The source of joy for his life was goods and his possessions. He completely believed such goods will please him and make him happy. But God wasn't there for him, nor was a neighbor to ask him, "Wanna play?" Then God says as follows in verse 20, "But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?'" Richmond thought many years, but God thought this very night. By saying being demanded, the owner will get back what he lent. The rich man says, as if the owner of his goods, his soul, is himself. But the fact is that his soul and everything he had is actually owned by God. The rich man thought the goods for the barn are not only owned by himself, but also will please him and keep his life safe. The rich man couldn't remember God due to what he possessed. He thought his possessions would play with him like forever, but God shook his head. The rich man thought what he had would protect him, but it rather became a weapon to him and damaged him. The 1 Samuel chapter 17 testifies the fight between David and Goliath. This is so familiar to everyone. Goliath was a giant, being 290 centimeters high. The height alone would have been enough to scare others. But the giant was fully armed. He wore a bronze helmet, while wearing suits shaped in fish scales, weighing as heavy as 57 kilograms. The weight of the spearhead alone was about 7 kilograms, including the handle, which would have been weighed at least 10 kilograms. Such a weight could have hardly been wielded by the general people. So in most cases, the word champion in the Bible is used to mean there is no one who could challenge him when it comes to fight. That was not all. There was a man with a shield. However, Goliath was struck with a stone on his forehead and fell down on the ground. How David reacted was testified in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 51. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with a sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Goliath was a giant man wearing metal armor. He held a multitude of arms. Goliath would have thought no one could beat him when he was prepared. But he was beheaded with his own knife, which he had no doubt to be protected him. I'll read verse 17 through 19 again. Please count how many times these verses mention I or me. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' Me, were used six times. It becomes way more than that if the possessive form is included. The rich man thought everything was his, but it was wrong. David also used I or my many times, but took a different way as a faithful Christian, as shown in his confession. In Psalms chapter 23, verses from 1 to 6, and count I, my, or me here again. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your God, your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." 16 times. David also mentions I, my, or me as many times as the rich man, but he confesses that the controller of his life is not him, but God. As God took control of his life, he could feel no lacking. He experienced green pastures and quiet waters to refresh. He could walk along the right paths. He walked with God through the darkest valley. There was no evil, but the cup of his life overflowed. He decided to dwell in the house of the Lord forever because he knew God would guide him. This way, David became the ancestor of Jesus and a great Christian 3,000 years later today. This is not confession only made by David. Saul, who became Paul afterwards and admired as a Pharisee and a person who once had Roman citizenship, thought he was the owner of his life and surely believed that he was fully able to live his life with his own will and practice. But he came to realize how foolish he was at the moment when he met resurrected Jesus on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians. After that, Paul had confessed his life as testified in Galatians 2:20. You can count how many times I or me appears again. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. At seven, at the time, Paul suffered all kinds of pain. His supporters were few, while there were a lot of opponents. He was beheaded after all. Many people at the time would have thought he failed. But 2,000 years later now, he's in our mind as the most faithful Christian. Today is the second Sunday of Lent when we commemorate the Passion of the Lord and long for the resurrection. Our society has many kinds of conflict, including the one among siblings. The most serious conflict out of them are among social positions, ideologies, labor and management, and generations. The reason of such conflict lies in ourselves, insisting to be foolish while refusing to play with others. Then the solution is to confess me, like David and Paul, and live together with others as confessed. In this season of repentance, Lent, let us repent our foolishness for which we ignore or harm others to get more pleasure. Let us be built together while embracing whom we are supposed to do in God. Then we'll taste the resurrection of God through him who plays with us. Let us pray. Father God, forgive us that we could not say the Father and Son who were in the parable regarding the property sharing you talked about was not us. We have always been self-centered and selfish. The more we had, the happier we became as we thought. Regardless of how much we are given by God and how long life will be allowed, help us to be free from foolishness, hoping to become the subject of our lives, to decide on our own what to do and how to do. Help us enjoy the grace that we receive God as the subject of our life so that we could live in God who guides us, takes responsibility for us, and plays with us like David and Paul did. May this society become clearer and the conflict be resolved through such us. May the Lent serve as a turning point where I, as a silly rich, to I of David and Paul. Have this season become the season of life where we could be built in the Lord who was willing to take the persecution to play with us forever so that we could enjoy the splendid resurrection with the Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.